You're listening to Fakeologist's Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
Good morning. It's Sunday, 3/22, March 22nd, 2020. I'm in the live stream. I'm waiting for Ashelu. She'll be coming in and we'll be chatting. Ashelu, hello. Good morning. Good afternoon, good evening, or good night.
Good evening, good morning to you, Ab, from Fakeologist.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
.com. It is 3:22. Will there be any fresh shenanigans leashed upon this earth? I don't like to be a panic or a doom teller, but things are really getting bizarre out here. It's just, there's almost no one at the gas station this morning. Normally it's pretty crowded where I go to get the super cheap gas. And I'm putting a lot of posts on fakeologist.com. I had to close up shop last night because some of the stories on our CBC, our Canadian Broadcast Corporation, the government-funded operation, were just getting too much. And, yeah, I read the government-funded website because many of the other private websites, they want money. And I just can't pay for propaganda. I will not pay for propaganda. So I have to go on the government site to get it for free because I do pay taxes to pay for it. So I guess it's not free and I've already paid for it. But man, oh man, just the story, this movie that we're in, and we are in a movie. We're all non-NPCs, non-player characters, I believe is how the phrase goes. And we're the zombies, we're the extras in this movie, and we're all performing very, very, very well, without lessons and without training, where everyone is doing as they're told, for the most part. And the dumber and more ludicrous and juvenile and silly the request, the greater the compliance. So I'm very disturbed by human behavior, but I'm not surprised, especially in a fairly top-down, government-centric country like Canada. We're very happy to have government. We don't mind paying for it. And therefore, anything they say, we are going to do. We're not like the American spirit. I don't know if Americans actually practice the American spirit, where they don't like government and they rebelled against the Queen to start their own country so they could be a little more self-reliant, self-governing. But Canada was a country created out of loyalism, is loyalism a word? Out of loyalty to the crown. So we're the ones that did not want to be Americans. We would not cross the line, and we wanted to stay with the king. So we're definitely more compliant and more accepting of anything we're told to do, even if it means walking down the street on your hands, naked. If the government says we should do it, I really think people would do it. Sad to say. Therefore, there's very little dissent. Dissenting thought is going to be a crime the way things are going. And I find it all disturbing. And I've got Ash with me. And Ash, you're muted. You can unmute if you want to make a comment. Because I was intending this to be a conversation, not a monologue.
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah, no, it's just, I'm just typing and stuff, so it's like all, you know,
multitasking.
Yeah, I like to look things up. So, you know, you said non-player characters. I was like, oh, yeah, you know, I've heard of RPGs, and so I just wanted to, like, look up, you know, the taxonomy of games while you were talking.
Go ahead, please share it with me. What exactly, is it a gaming term, is it not?
Yeah. So, because I've heard of RPG, so that's a role-playing game.
Okay.
So,
don't play games. I don't play games, Ash, just so you know.
No, neither do I. Neither do I. I just got into it, like, with my nephew and stuff last year. So an RPG, it's a role-playing game, sometimes called role-playing game abbreviated RPG, is a game in which players assume the roles of characters in a fictional setting. Players take responsibility for acting out these roles within a narrative, either through literal acting or through a process of structured decision-making regarding character development. And then, so if I try and find the definition of an NPC, because that's what you were describing, NPC, in contrast to player characters, so this is in contrast to the RPGs, in contrast to player characters, non-player characters, NPCs, are controlled by the game master or game engine or by people assigning the game master. Non-player characters fill out the population of the fictional setting and can act as antagonists, bystanders, or allies of the player characters. How
very
interesting.
Good. That's what I thought. You know, I used to play a few games back in the early 80s, back when you were just a germ in your parents' mind. And one of... After break.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Thank you, Neil. Well, good time. Is that exoteric?
Yes, it is.
You're still hard to hear. I wish you'd shout into the mic.
Yeah, no. I'm going to have to, but I'm just popping in to say hello.
I can't even hear you. That's the problem. I don't mind if you're low, but if I can't hear you, I can't react.
Well, I'm talking to my phone as close as I can at the moment, or wherever the microphone is. I'm not sure. So I'm getting a new
one. By contrast, Ash is beautifully transmitting her lovely voice.
Yeah, she's got a great
at
voice.
At full volume.
Fantastic. Anyway, I'll probably won't be here for long, but I was popping.
I really can't hear you. If I turn you up, then Ash will blow out my speakers.
I'm not, all right, I'm off. I'm off. I'm off.
Oh, what the hell you got to do to fix yourself, Rick?
It's getting a new phone, Ab. I need a new phone. Tomorrow.
That'll be fine. I guess you dropped it in the Clorox too many times.
Yeah, probably. Anyway, all right, good night, and I'll speak tomorrow. Big chat.
Are you leaving?
I got a new phone.
Say that again?
When I get a new phone, I'll chat.
No, I'd love to hear from you. We like
you. You will. Oh, yes, you will. Yes, you will. I'll speak to you guys.
Either that or just yell into your phone.
No, I've got neighbors that will be probably getting concerned if I start screaming, so best not to.
Oh, you got neighbors. Are you allowed to see them, or are you social distancing?
No, I'm not social. I'm a total slut.
That laugh was not a recording.
It was so funny. Social distancing from neighbors.
Well, I'm attending my nephew's virtual birthday party, and the funny thing is, I've never been actually invited to his birthday party in person, ever. but now I was invited to a virtual birthday party. I have to join a Google video hangout this afternoon to sing happy birthday to the guy. How's that for funny? So social distancing is bringing us together.
It is. Oh my god. You know, I can't wait to, like, because, you know, it gets a bit sweaty and it's just like everyone's so close to you in clubs if you go dancing. And it was interesting, like, on Australia Day, so that's in January this year, like, my friends, like, picked me up and we went to the beach and stuff. And then, you know, we were, like, on our way back to the car, or they were trying to show me, like, this other beach. And then we just end up seeing, like, this whole beach party. And it was really fun because it was like, you know, we didn't even know it was on, so we just kind of joined in. But I think, you know, you hear of, like, those dance parties where people all have headphones on. And so it's, I think they call it, like, a silent disco or something. So there's actually no music blaring, but there's still a DJ, but all the music from the DJ goes through the headphones. And so they call it, like, a silent dance party.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Can you play your own music?
I don't know, but I just was thinking
you
today, and I
put everyone dancing, with... everyone dancing to a different song. Talk about being out of rhythm.
I know, just out of sync. Like, just everything's been out of sync. I think with this whole hoax, everyone's just like affronted.
This is an amazing grill. This is an unprecedented worldwide exercise. It's fantastic. I would have never predicted this in a million years.
Yeah.
It's really, really well done. It's evil genius. I got to give them credit. And the only problem I have with it is that if nobody catches on, which it doesn't really appear that anyone is catching on, no matter how stupid and ignorant and foolish things they make us do, like, I can't wait till they make everyone walk down the street with their pants down, singing Joy to the
Kumbaya.
World or something and sing. But whatever it is, the more ludicrous, the more likely people are to do it. But the problem is, if they end it, and they have to, they'll have to wind it down and end it and let things go back to some type of normalcy. The problem is they can repeat it. They can bring it back. It's going to be like a bad rash. They'll be able to repeat this social deconstruction and this economic reset, maybe even in the fall. This is the biggest problem if people don't realize what they're going through that I have.
It's really interesting. So I put a video up of a video by Whiteboard Gematria. And so I think he's a Christian. But it's so interesting, and I posted it up on the 9/11 discussion, because when you look at the number of days, like it's 911 days since, I think it's like Tisha B'Av, which is like the Jewish New Year. I could have that wrong, but I didn't take screenshots. But he goes through a whole bunch of movies, like The Terminator, the one that's called Genesis, and like all of that. And it's like before even 9/11 happened, there were a whole bunch of movies that had, you know, signs that said, you know, like when, you know, whether a car's driving or something, just in like Terminator, and it'll have like a sign, you know, on the boardwalk or something, like, you know, beware 9/11. So it's really clever. Like, I don't know, like I'll have to go through all of those movies individually to like figure out, you know, how the veracity of, you know, each of those screenshots. But he plays segments from the movies. So I feel like everything is by the numbers. I know that can sound even more conspiratorial and just even like more fake and all that, but it's just this, it's undeniable when you start seeing the numbers. Like, I can just look up Skull and Bones in Wikipedia now. So Skull and Bones. So this
is
where
today is Skull and Bones Day.
That's right. And so, like, I was saying this even on the forums about Friday the 13th. I said, you know, there are going to be big things happening on Friday the 13th, the third month, the 13th day of the third month of the 3 or 3 year or Freemasonry. And what happened? You know, Trump announced from midnight on the 13th that all flights were banned from Europe. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, I said that. Almost every day this month has had something big. So I don't want to get too involved with the numbers, because we could slice
and
dice.
What else is comparable to that, though? You know, what else, like, you know, so today in Australia is the 22nd
day.
I think it's
a big distraction, though, Ash. It really is. I agree with you that they love numbers and numbers mean something. Numbers only give power to those that believe in them. It's just another god to worship, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, no, I don't worship the number. Like, there's no magical, you know, when you look at the Fibonacci sequence, you see it in nature. Like, I studied anatomy, and it's like, oh my god, I see anatomy so much differently. I see all the numbers.
And there's
in the
number psi and all that, isn't there? What is it? The number phi. That's some magic number ratio too. The ratio, golden ratio. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. That's the Fibonacci, it's related to the sequence of the Fibonacci. And then when you look at what the diameter, so the sun setting, so that's actually phi, so pi is like 22 over 7, so 3.14. And then when you look at the sunset, so what is that? How do you figure out what the diameter of a circle is? It all goes back to, you know, what the Hebrew word for God is, which is pi 7. So, like, it's all related, but I'm not saying no numbers are bad, no numbers are special. I'm just saying that there is a pattern when you see events happen. That's what I'm recognizing. Like,
yeah,
they make
the events fit the pattern. They put them on days that mean something to people, because lots of people bring lots of meaning to lots of things. Obviously, this hoax, this Corona hoax 2020 that I call it. And by the way, there was a news story about a leader of one of our political parties in the province I live in. She has a son who's a lot like the Hank's son, who's another whack job. Tattoos, acting stupid, rapper, all the rebellion signs. He's being mocked, and she, by extension, is being mocked for him believing that the Corona virus is a hoax. And he called it Corona 2020. And I thought, I haven't seen too many people label the hoax as I have on my website, ficologist.com, as Corona hoax 2020. I put that up a week or two ago, and I haven't seen anyone adopt it. I know John LeBon is here, and he's trying to start Coney hoax, which I can't remember why he's doing that.
Coney virus. Coney virus, not Coney hoax.
Hi, John. Hi.
Hello, Ab. How you doing, mate?
Good, but... So this
because there was this thing called Coney 10 years ago, and everyone believed it.
It
was completely bullshit. And it's kind of like a play on words. Coney, Corona, they're kind of similar.
No, it's similar, but let me finish.
I said the same thing yesterday. Coney, Corona, exactly the same thing.
I know. Exoteric is back. Hold on, let me finish my thought, please. Okay, so he put in his post, wherever it was, on Instagram, wherever the children are today, he called it Corona hoax, and I had never seen anyone so far put that up. So I thought maybe, just maybe, the Canadian intelligence branch of this operation is reading my blog and maybe inserting it into the narrative. Now, I'm giving myself probably way too much credit, which I'm fine with doing. But I'm starting to see... That's why I like creating work. I really want to see fakeologists hit the mainstream narrative. I've never seen it, other than when I paid for it. But, yeah, I just thought that was quite bizarre. I don't know this young guy. I don't know if he's a real person because he has a different last name than his own mother, who's leader of the party, but that could just be a divorce or a maiden name kind of thing. But the whole point is that they're trying to attach crazy, really crazy guys, really bizarre sort of antisocial people to anyone that's doubting this fantastic psyop. And let's call it as it is. It is a worldwide fantastic psyop that is still going on with no end in sight. Now, who am I echoing through? I heard my voice.
Not okay, me.
Maybe it's a shutout.
Oh, all right. Sorry, I'll put my microphone on mute.
Okay, that's fine. That was the end of my little rant there. So, John or Exoteric or Ash, you want to say something?
Well, apparently, yeah. I've just been told by Typo and Silverbeam my voice is perfectly clear. Not muted.
Okay. I just can't hear you, but I can maybe try and turn you up.
No, I'm going to go soon anyway, but I'll be back.
I've got you on maximum volume, so I don't know.
I'll be back tomorrow with a new phone, hopefully, if the lockdown hasn't stopped me getting one, and I'll be doing the podcast tomorrow night. If I get a new phone, I'll be on, definitely. Definitely.
Will you be on fakeologist.com?
.com. I will certainly be.
Oh, good. What
and
time?
Rollo,
so the same
Rollo,
time.
Rollo is looking at coming back. That's
Rollo's coming back.
Yep. He wants to.
Oh, great.
So.
Well, I watched his video. I do like his man on the street interviews. I really like his style, and I like him doing that. So, if he does more of that, I'll be happy. I don't think people. I think if he just asked them ahead of time, I don't think you'll have a problem. Just say, do you mind being on YouTube? Or do you mind me recording? I would say 99% of people will say that's fine. Unless they're at work. Because some people at work don't want to be talking because they're not working. So if they did it on their break, it might be different. Maybe go out the back door of the grocery store to the smoke hole and wait for them to come out on their break.
Yeah. Well, I'm confident he'll be back soon.
All right. You're rehabilitating Rollo.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying.
Well, thank you for letting him know about my comment. And
yeah,
it was really good. That was sweet. He wants to give me a hug, so I return the hug.
Yep, fantastic.
Well, I do too.
Okay. Anyway, I'm off, but I'll speak to you tomorrow night.
All right. Good night, Rick. Thanks for calling in, Exoteric. He will be back with a new phone.
New phone.
Let me ask you, Shello. I mean, I hate to waste technical time, but is Rick coming through low or is it just me?
No, he's not coming through low for me. I think most of us are like in Australia or John Le Bon's in Asia, so it does have an effect, like the distance and like ping times and, you know, the amount.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think that might be something because you're in North America.
Probably. Yes. Okay. Okay. That's fine. That makes sense.
Anyway, good night. And
It's the way Discord works as well. I actually switched servers to the United States central server of Discord, wherever that is, maybe Chicago. So that might make some difference. I don't know if it makes any difference. I know when I'm on the Australian server, my connection is quite weak
because it shows yellow. Yeah.
It shows orange bars on my end, so I get disconnected a lot. But
that would be so frustrating. Yeah, no, like I'm stressed. Like one of my assignments was to like look at websites in South Africa and then North America, and it was just driving me mad.
Yeah. You're saying the distance makes a difference.
I think so, because if everyone else here, like we're hearing him quite fine.
Yeah, well, no, I think you're right, because if Australia is really thousands or tens of thousands of kilometers away from me, I believe the signal is going through wires, and I'm pretty sure they're under the ocean. So there is it's still a miracle that even if that we are connected by a wire in an uninterrupted pathway between you and me, and we're so far away. That to me is a modern miracle, because I don't think we're bouncing through the atmosphere. I really think we're just connected through quite a few thousands of miles of cables and talking in almost real time. Like, there's almost no lag.
Mm.
That's amazing.
It is. Like, absolutely. Like, when you look at refraction and fiber optics and the speed, and then when you look at like the maximum cable length, like I'm supposed to memorize all of them. Like, oh my God.
I know John Le Bon thinks it's a miracle that we can communicate at all through.
I think it's a wonderful time to be alive, Ev. It really is. And you've brought people together over the last few days. I've seen many people on this Discord. Many of them probably can't discuss a lot of these topics with people in their real life, at least not without getting called names and stuff. So.
Oh, yes. I'm just here to relieve myself almost, because I read the crazy stories. I relate them to my family. For the most part, they're pretty good with it. They're not really interested in it, but it is affecting them, and it will continue to affect them. But I really like to come here and, you know, discuss my blog posts if there's anything that resonates. Like, can you imagine? I can't even believe this is a real story, but I have a feeling it is. They're actually closing a lot of parks because people are not obeying this insane social distancing rule of 6 feet. I mean,
does that lead you to wonder if perhaps this isn't just about scaring people with a virus, but there's actually a, not to say a bigger agenda, but the idea of keeping people apart and stopping them from going outside, like, are you starting to wonder if maybe there's more to all of this than initially meets the eye?
Well, first of all, there's definitely more to this. This is two psyops in one. We have the corona hoax that's being mated with this economic reset that They mate perfectly. They're linked together. They're intrinsic. And for sure, on top of that, there could be other little agendas at work. And we've discussed many of them. But one that Tim Osman, who's doing excellent work on this, mentioned, he just read a Miles Mathis article that I haven't seen yet, where Miles Mathis thinks there's an agenda to drive a wedge between religions and the sexes, keeping men away from women, and, oh, hold on.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
Miles Mathis said that the agenda as well is to keep people away from each other, so we can't really talk, even if we're in a group, which is supposed to be illegal. I don't know if they got the groups down to 10. I'm waiting for them to say there's just no gatherings at all, except maybe with your family at home, but then we're probably all supposed to be in separate rooms and lock our doors in our own houses. And they want people just to connect to their monoliths, their little telescreens, to get the official information from Big Brother, so we can't confer, we can't compare notes like we're doing right now. So they're just driving a further wedge and making people more slaves to the official story, the official word. And I thought, wow. Now, he said one more thing that I thought was really, really good. He said, listen, all you restaurateurs, all you small businesses, there's no law that was passed, even though it could be sitting under the Emergency Services Act, that says you have to close. Why don't some of you defy the authorities, stay open, risk a fine, pay the fine, because the fines are only misdemeanors. They're like parking tickets, which have no criminal ramifications. And then when you sue, if the courts ever open again, because all the courts are closed, when you get your trial, say there was no law saying I couldn't be open, and sue the government, although I don't think you can sue the government's ass off, for violating your constitutional right, and constitution is supposed to be the main law of any land. So he issued a call to defiance to all these small businesses that are getting their asses handed to them by not being able to create revenue.
Okay, so two things there. They're calling it social isolation, and that's what it is. They want people inside, not outside, and they want people separated from each other. You can't hang out together. So when I said, is there more going on? What I meant by that is, this seems to me to be perhaps among the biggest of all of their aims here, is to get people inside, out of their routines, get away from the gym. They're banning the gyms, right? Get them inside and separated. Don't hang out with grandma because you're going to kill her, right? By giving her this virus, right? They're calling it social isolation, and in one of the rare instances of this being the case, they're telling the truth. It's actually social isolation that they're hoping to get people to enact, and they're doing that. As for Miles Mathis saying business owners should still do business, I love the idea, but it's easy to say that when you don't own a restaurant. It's easy to say, oh, restaurateurs should stay open. Easy to say that. Probably not so easy for the people who own the restaurants. Because unless you're the guy who owns a restaurant and takes the orders and does the cooking and does the cleaning and waits the tables, you're going to need staff. And who the hell wants to risk that maybe the staff, something happens to the staff, or you're liable for that? If I owned a little cafe, I would love to defy the rules. Just be the guy who owns a cafe, makes the coffees, right? Takes the orders, makes the coffee. You can do that. But you'd need customers. And all the customers have been convinced that this is a real thing. So you'd start getting hatred on social media. If you had your cafe in like a neighborhood area, you'd get hatred from some of the neighbors. This is truly a mind virus. So even if you were the one who rebels against it, it wouldn't even be the government you've got to worry about first. It'd be the other people, the other humans.
And what? Yeah, I agree. And what about the snitch lines where people are, I don't know if they have any snitch lines set up here yet. But I'm hearing about the idea that you snitch on your neighbor, you can call. I mean, this is 1984 gone absolutely mad. This is East Germany born again. It's amazing.
Bro, I was thinking about that just a moment ago. It's even worse in 1984 because at least there people can still get together. People are still allowed to congregate together. It has to be under the party's auspices. Oh, yeah, for the 2 minutes hate or the 2 minute hate where they get to all hate the boogeyman. We have to hate the boogeyman in our rooms privately.
Wasn't that a virtual gathering? Wasn't the 2 minute hate you did it in your own room yelling at the telescreen? Or did they get together?
Maybe in some versions of it, but I remember from the film, from the film that was made in 1984 with, is it John Hurt or William Hurt? I always confuse those two. With one of the Hurt actors. I'm pretty sure the film starts off with a 2 minute hate and they're all together.
Okay.
But I could be mistaken about that.
Right.
But that's just the film version. Maybe in the book version they do their 2 minute hate, virtually. That's also possible. I don't know. Can't remember.
Yeah.
I'm just going to have to end this up. And everyone, hi John, hi Silverbeam, and Streamer Bot. I'm stuck.
Hi Ash, hope you're doing all right. Here. Like, this news has just come through today. How are you holding up? It must be quite a big deal for you Sydney-siders. No Bondi Beach and no restaurants, no cafes. How are you? How are you doing?
Yeah. Oh, no, I talk to, like, all the service people. Like, I go to the humans at Coles and Woolies, and I talk to, like, my neighbours a lot more. It's just people are really good. I think there's kindness. I feel kindness, so, you know, and I'm definitely feeling kindness from, you know, even just being on a Discord server. I know the word Discord is about, you know, fragmentation. It's like, well, you know what?
Oh, my God, it's such a contradictory named service. I think they've obviously done it deliberately. I don't know why they did it like that. Yeah, the Discord.
Yeah, but I'm like, just from my experience, like, I've had to leave before, but, like, no, like, I'm just, like, I know, like, I feel like I'm an empath, and, you know, and I usually don't like people standing near me or whatever, but now it's like, no, like, I feel kindness from people. It's so weird.
I just went to the gas station, and there was almost nobody there. It's usually quite busy, because... As I told John the Bond, I paid 63 cents a liter this morning. And the lady there, so I said, how are you doing? I said, where is everybody? And she says, well, they're all staying home. And I said, we were just talking. She said, oh, I'm a touchy-feely person, she told me. And this is killing her. She's one of the kind of people that she doesn't mind if you're in her personal space as a rule. So this is really killing her. And I said, why don't we have a hugging party? We'll just have an underground hugging party. We'll all go underground. We'll meet. We'll just go lay on each other to defy the authorities.
Oh my God, I would hate that. I would hate any, I'm not even a hug person.
She loved that. She said, yeah, I can't wait till this is over. I'm just going to jump on people. I said, sign me up. Oh my goodness, it's crazy. It's if you told me this was going to happen a year ago, this seems like a bad dream. It really does. This is crazy.
I know, and I'm not trying to be a no numbers person or whatever, but it's like they tell us what they're doing. That's what I'm trying to say with the numbers. So CV, so coronavirus. So C, it's the third letter. I've written it out just to prove it to myself. And then V is the 22nd letter. What does that equal? 322. CV, 322. Okay. Skull and bones. We'll look it up on Wikipedia.
So we're abbreviating. Listen, this thing has gone through so many incarnations. It's been Corona. It's been COVID-19. I'm hearing a lot of COVID. Yeah. Now we're going to abbreviate it to CV now. Is that what we're doing? There's just so many iterations.
I know there's so many iterations, but you got to look at it. So it's like the frequency of the words, the original words that they use. And it's like, and then that's when the mirroring comes in after that. Now you've got the COVID, and then you've got, you know, whether it's Google taking away
the Wuhan flu for a while.
Trump started trying to start China flu, but China flu
is not selling in this politically correct world. That one will not fly, I'm pretty sure.
And all of them, when you put them in a gematria calculator, they all equal 33. Right. Whether it's China flu, Corona, all of it, they all equal the same.
There's no doubt that this is the 33 hoax. This is definitely the 33 hoax.
And that's why I'm saying this is the 33 year of Freemasonry. Yeah. So take that as your. This is the year of hoaxes. This is the year of hoaxes. Oh, yes, it is. Okay. I did a screenshot.
Yeah.
So I'll
just give me a minute. Just give me 2 minutes. You can talk to John.
Anyway, how are you, John? I'm pretty tired. I'm gonna go, but I just thought I'd say goodbye to everyone. I like had a few late nights the other week, and I'm like, oh, I just went to sleep.
Have you found out if removal companies are on the necessary business list, or if they're banned too?
I have no idea. Oh my god!
Like, we're gonna find out soon. I can't see you moving all of your own furniture somehow. It'd be a long.
Oh my god! Look, every other move, I can move by myself. I'm bloody strong. But this time, I ordered the couch. Well, the poor guys had to like carry it up all the fire stairs because I mismeasured the diagonal in the lift. Oh my god! Yeah, so this time, and I got a new fridge, and it's just like, there's no way I'm going to be able to do it all, like, with me and friends in the ute. So I need a removalist company. Because, like, even, like, the length of my couch that I got, it doesn't fit in a standard van. So, it's just a bit, it's funny. You know what? Like, I just can't even get stressed about it. This is just, you know, they've told us everything that's happening. It's just going to get more bizarre, more bizarre, more bizarre, I reckon. So did
you? I don't think we're at the worst of it yet. I think we've still got more to come.
Did you take up the issue with the your insurance?
Oh, yeah, I got through to them eventually. It took hours to get through to them. But basically, long story short, if I book my ticket home within a week from yesterday, then they're going to cover it. So I've basically got a couple of days now to make a big decision. Do I fly back to Australia or do I stay here in Asia? Big decision. Could be a life-changing decision. So it's one that I do not want to make lightly.
No, of course. Not for a flight. Don't take it lightly. And so do you have friends and family in Kuala Lumpur?
Nobody. I don't know a single person here, apart from some other dude in this condominium who I met maybe a week ago. And I saw him again today, and I think he is panicking. He's from England. And I think the dude is genuinely, he's fully bought into all of this. And he's in a real panic, the poor dude. But now, apart from him, I don't know a single soul in this entire city.
So do you own the apartment that you live in?
No, I'm just in an Airbnb. I was only meant to be here for 1 month, and then I was going to go to Indonesia. But I can't go there anymore. So it's like, well, do I want to stay in a city where I don't know a single person? Not really. And, of course, what I normally do every city I go to is I go and meet people. I go out to events. I go out to places to meet people. You can't do that. They're all shut. So, had this happened when I was in other cities after I got time to know people, it would have been sweet, no problem. But here, it's like, well, I know nobody. I can't meet anybody. I am entirely 100% by myself. And even that wouldn't be a problem necessarily. But it's like, some countries appear to be slowly but surely kicking out the foreigners. Not so much in Asia, but I've read about a couple of countries in South America where they're basically kicking the foreigners out. And it's like, I don't think Malaysia's going to do that. But then again, I didn't think they'd go into martial law either. So, yeah, it's strange times.
So you found a few articles because, you asked me because you said you hadn't seen any articles like that because I'd mentioned that I'd read somewhere about countries kicking out foreigners. So what did you read about South American countries?
Well, I don't want to say too much because I haven't spent enough time verifying the claims, but apparently there's a couple of countries in South America, I think one might be Argentina, where foreigners are now being denied the ability to stay in hotels. So if you stay in one hotel, but then your stay finishes, you have to book a new hotel, right? But what if you can't? What if you're no longer allowed to? Well, where are you going to stay? Where are you going to live? Now, they might be able to work out Airbnbs or whatever, but what happens if they start cracking down on Airbnbs? Like, some countries have already done that, so that is something that can be done. So, yeah, it's just without knowing what's going to happen next, it's difficult to know what to do. You know, you always plan for the situation. When you don't know what the situation is, how do you plan for it? And the situation is changing by the day. It's phenomenal. But again, I'm grateful that you and I and all of the listeners out there, we get to record our thoughts for posterity here at fakeologist.com. And in the future, we can, if we're interested, we can listen back and see, well, what were people saying at the time? What were people really saying and thinking at the time? I think it's fantastic that we get to document this in this way.
We get to record it, yeah.
Yeah, I think you're doing a great service here, Ab, of fakeologist.com. Bringing people
thank
together
you,
from all
John,
over the world.
And you're doing a great job, too. Great job.
Oh, thank you.
Actually,
I appreciate that.
I had, I'm just listening to IPS, and he's not creating audio files, which is annoying because I got to go to YouTube and I got to download them and then I got to convert them to MP3. I'm doing all that as automated as I can, so it's a pain. I don't know why he's not being more helpful. I guess he's very busy. But he was actually listening or playing one of your videos with Tom Hanks, the Tom Hanks deconstruction or solve the crack the code. And I'd heard your video, but the way he was talking about it, it was helpful to me because he was stopping it and starting and talking about it. You did a pretty good video. He played most of it, I think, on Tom Hanks and the code and how Tom Hanks is, well, maybe you can describe it a bit. You could even play it if you want in the live.
Well, very long story short, Tom Hanks won a Golden Globe Special Award early this year, and then he gave two speeches that evening, the official speech and then some kind of backstage speech. And in those speeches, he was asked, what are you doing next? He said, well, I'm sick. I'm going to Australia, and our thoughts are with Australia. And in Australia, I'm going to play a bad man, right? And I'm paraphrasing and condensing what he said, but these are what he said in his speech. Anyhow, he was making reference to, our thoughts with Australia, because Australia at the time was in the middle of a bushfire, and he was coming to Australia to film a film. Anyway, in one of those same speeches, he also was talking about how when you're an actor, you know, it's so important for the director to, and for your colleagues to help you. You know, sometimes you're up until 3 o'clock in the morning or 11 o'clock at night.
11, right?
Three and 11. Then when he was in Australia, a couple months later, on March 11, he announces that he has got the coronavirus. One of the first big celebrities to do so. Now Australia had this big bushfire, which you might describe as an inferno. Tom Hanks also starred in 2016 in the film Inferno, in which the boogeyman has released a bad virus. He wants to release a bad virus to wipe out the world. That virus's name is Inferno in the film. So the name Inferno of that film is basically super virus. And Tom Hanks was in it. In that film, he wakes up in a hospital in Italy, which is, of course, the epicenter, supposedly, of this pandemic. So some people will hear all of this and they'll put it all down to coincidence, and that's, I understand, some people, that's all they see, but I see more than that. So I looked further into it, and that's what I was hinting at with that video. Like, guys, I'm going to release what I found, but what can you find? And that's what that video was all about.
Right. So Tom Hanks, people follow him because apparently he's one of the greatest actors of our time, and I never was a fan of his, really. He starred in a show that was on the television back when I used to watch TV called Bosom Buddies. I found it very not funny at all. I think he was playing something to do. I think they were playing transvestites. I can't remember, but it was a terrible show. But it launched his career into movies. So I've never been a big fan. And I've never been a big fan of recycling the same old actors in all our movies. There's so many people that can act. I can act. You can act. Why do we have to watch the same people all the time? But Tom Hanks is clearly being used by the elite that, I guess, control a lot of the movie studios. And he's used because people follow him and they like him. And he's used to send messages to people because, let's face it, we don't really go to church. We don't listen to our priests because we don't have them. The high priests today are the celebutards and the technocratic experts. The only two people, apparently, the only groups of people that are getting en masse, COVID. So I was going to do a post today when I get a chance saying, if COVID is really only disproportionately attacking the celebrities and the politicians, what's the problem? I think that's a great statistic, which of course is a fictitious statistic, but if it's taken out these people who are not our friends and not helping, and they're stirring fear, let the COVID fake virus take them out. Goodbye. You know, sorry.
Well, to make my day if
that
were the case, have. But sadly, they all seem to make instant recoveries, don't they? It's a strange thing.
While Tom Hanks, they don't even show symptoms. They're not even symptomatic. No. They're asymptomatic.
Asymptomatic. And while Tom Hanks is making his recovery, he's still tweeting tweets. And his tweets lately have included his Corona typewriter, which he just happened to bring to Australia, apparently.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, this is Joe Mama from Southern California, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Do you reckon Joe Mama is still out there, Ab?
I don't even remember him. I mean, some of these bumpers, I barely remember them, but I think he called in on a telephone. That's why it was so bad.
How many of them are there? How many bumpers are in that shuffle now?
Well, I haven't counted, but I'd say maybe 40 or 50. I took some out for people that absolutely don't want anything to do with Fakeologists, so I've archived a bunch for posterity. But there's quite a few. And a lot of people just came by for a day, not even regular. So, but I find it fun. And sometimes I know it breaks up the conversation, but, you know, more times they're not out of knot. I like that the conversation is derailed by these bumpers because sometimes it's going sideways. So,
you know what I found phenomenal, Ab, on that exact topic? I found it phenomenal that in the first major roundtable at Fakeologist, since this became bigger than 9/11, there was about 60 to 90 minutes of discussion of this at the start, and then it quickly just turned into the regular chit-chat. It was
I know.
Phenomenal.
I know.
And I don't mean that as a criticism either. I understand that for most people,
I know.
60 to 90 minutes is enough, and then they won't go back to everything
but
else.
John,
like,
at least we're not going to devolve into should we eat meat or not. That conversation I'm sick of. Let's not make this about veganism. So that was my biggest complaint. I know that you're referring to the Marcus and the Chris call.
No, you're referring to them. I'm not referring to them at all. I'm referring to the call yesterday. You're referring to the Marcus call where he spoke about veganism.
No, because he loves talking about it. But
diet is one of his favorite topics. He seems to believe that changing his diet. This is Marcus Allen from liverichusa.com, I think, is the website. He seems to think that changing his diet and removing vegetables has cured him of dozens of ailments, which if that is how he feels, you can see why he'd be so passionate about it.
Well, I'm not sure what diet he's on now, but
he removed vegetables. He thinks vegetables are basically poison.
I know that. My mother told me to eat my vegetables, so what the hell am I supposed to do? Listen to my mother or listen to him?
Yeah, it's a tough one. It's a tough one. Part of me is like, nah, man, you need vegetables. They're good for you. And part of me is like, yeah, but how do I know that? And I'm like, I don't know how I know that. I just know, you know. I don't really have any evidence that's the case.
See, I already said I wasn't going to talk about food, but I'll say one more thing about food. I'm going to eat anything that can go bad. Anything that doesn't go bad is probably not good for you. So if something you can leave out for a couple of days and Mother Nature takes it and destroys it, then it's probably pretty good for you. So eat it when it's fresh and when you've got rid of all the bacteria off it and go to town. Although you're supposed to eat bacteria in yogurt, which I never understood, but... Oh, boy, what a tangled web we weave when we practice to deceive. Another one of my favorite quotes. Now, there's a huge... Someone just put something in the general chat. I'm driving. I can't read it. El Sushi.
Let me tell you what this person has put. This is El Sushi, who I don't think I've spoken with before. And they've posted a quote. They've posted something that I wrote here, I think, a long time ago about... I don't know, someone has said something to me and then I've said, you know, who's this El Sushi guy? Where does he work? Where is his work? Where can I inspect his research? And then, because that's what I say to people. I'm like, hey, if you don't like my research, that's cool. At least I post mine for people to inspect. So you tell me where I can find yours and I'll check it out. I'll happily go and check it out. Let me inspect it. Now, El Sushi seems to have replied with that, he's talking about me here. When did this character appear? He's talking about me. 2014, 15. Okay. And I'm like, well, yeah, 2014 was when I started podcasting. So that's 6 years ago now. So I wouldn't call myself a veteran of the scene, but I've been here for the entire 6 years putting out content. Yeah. So if people don't like my content, that's fine. Show me your content so I can inspect that. And most, if not all of my critics have no work to inspect. They do no work. So their criticism of my work means nothing. And when I say this to them, they get very upset. And maybe El Sushi is one of these people. But they're there. El Sushi's in room 11. They can come and chat with us if they want. Come and chat, El Sushi. Don't be scared.
Yeah. Come chat.
Come and chat.
John. Oh, what happened? I heard an echo. John, you're a provocative character. You speak super well. And I like listening to you. And I don't mind Do you put your neck out there all the time? You're bombastic. You're basically all the things that people like to listen to. So obviously the proof's in the pudding. You've sold memberships. You're doing, you got your own website. So yeah, I agree.
The thing is, Ab, I'm not asking people to like me. That's up to them. Some people will like me. Some people won't. That's natural. And the more controversial topics you talk about, the more you have to accept some people aren't going to like you. That's fine. The problem with people like El Sushi, and there's lots of them, is they'll sit there on the sidelines throwing their rotten vegetables and actually doing no work of their own. And they pretend as though they're somehow helping. You're not helping. You're just a spectator here to throw rotten vegetables. That's all you are. You're not helping when you do this. You're not an assistant to anybody. You're not making the world a better place. You're not helping any so-called movement you think you're part of. You are just a passenger, just a spectator. That's all you are. That's all these people are. And if they could just accept that, no problem. But they seem to think they're doing some kind of righteous work. No, you're sitting somewhere, listening to me, even though you say you hate me, because that's what you're here for.
Yeah.
That's all you're here for.
Well,
period.
Listen, if they're listening to you and not clicking you off, then they're a fan. Plain and simple. I've said it before, Rolo said it, the opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference. So if somebody hates me, that means they're bloody passionate. And even though it's hard sometimes to take incessant criticism and sniping, it just means they really like you a lot. It goes right back to elementary school when you would always pinch the girl that you really liked. You weren't trying to torment her, you just really liked her, and that's your nonverbal communication.
Did you have a high school sweetheart, Ed? Did you have like a girl who was your special?
I had a million.
Maybe
I
you had, married her I in the end. No, maybe one of the lucky ones.
No, I had a million crushes. I had lots of crushes. All ever since I could feel my oats. Yeah, I had lots, but no, I moved around a lot. So by the time I got to know everyone, I had to move again. So.
Oh, you moved around a lot when you were a kid, like going to different schools and stuff.
Every 3 years we moved. So it was very disruptive. It's so hard to create a social network when you have to keep busting it up. And we move right across country all the time. So it's not like I could just nip back to the town I came from. So Canada is so vast. Vancouver may as well be another country. The center of our country, Winnipeg, I live there. A totally different country. It has almost no connection. I mean, Canada was built on a rail line. Our only connection was the railway, and even that really just created a commercial connection. It's not a cultural or social connection. So we are at least five countries, and when they realign North America, we will be realigned vertically or longitudinally. So Vancouver will align with Seattle, Toronto will align with Michigan, and maybe a bit of Illinois and New York State, maybe the East Coast of Canada will align with the Northeast of the United States, the Northeastern super region. So we really have nothing in common. So Canada is a complete mosaic. It's just a patchwork sewn together, and there's no logical, geographical similarity. The only thing we say we have in common is healthcare. We like the idea of a centralized healthcare. And it seems that it's more efficient than a conglomeration of insurance, millions of insurance companies providing healthcare. But anyway, I digress. I don't even know why I started talking about this. But
because I asked you about high school sweethearts. Could you imagine being a teenager now? Or like, I mean, just imagine how this is for the children. Can you imagine what it's like for them to be told, look, there's a super flu on the loose, and if the government doesn't stop us from going to the park or the beach, your grandma might die. I mean, how can anyone justify putting these ideas in a child's head?
I tell you, well, John, they did it to us. In 1984, when I turned 16, basically just starting to feel my oats, they brought in AIDS and said, yeah, you can have sex, but you could die from it. I mean, Jesus, that was a real club in the head of anyone that was sort of thinking that way.
Barely imagine that. I've heard you speak about this a few times, and it's like the whole AIDS thing was still kind of a thing when I was obviously a teenager and a young adult. But by that stage, the programming was still there, but I don't think as bad as you guys got it. I think you guys got it the worst, and then it tapered off. Do you know what I mean?
It just went away. It tapered off. I think it took all my teenage years. It cleared them right out. It tapered off in maybe the end of the 80s. And then, of course, it just went away. It was just treated with chemotherapy, basically, chemotherapy drugs, and it basically died off. And then, and the guy that's in charge of the COVID hoax, that little munchkin named Anthony Fauci, he was in charge of the AIDS hoax. He was the science actor, the head science government shill actor for the AIDS crisis. So he's on his last tour of duty, I would say, with this COVID hoax. They trot him out to say some dire things, but I think this is his last stand as well, just because of his age. He's probably done after this one. So yeah, this one is kind of worse because you could avoid sex, even though it was really hard when you're young and your body's telling you one thing and the government's telling you another not to do it. But this one is just, you could just have it by just being there. I mean, forget any illicit activity. Just existing, you could be carrying COVID and passing it on. So you just better cower in place, as I call it. COP, cower in place. Hide under your bed for 2 days or 2 weeks or 2 months or I don't even know. I don't even think they have an actual number of days when we have to cower in place and stay apart.
You're right. They don't have a number of days because they're doing this incrementally. Now, they're doing it all fast. Like in the space of a few weeks, this is fast, but they're doing it incrementally. So in Australia, for instance, today's the Sunday, the 22nd of March. Today they announced in two states lockdown, as in we're closing the bars, the restaurants, the clubs, we're closing everything except for the so-called essential services, right? Supposedly.
Grocery stores. Can't cut off the food. You cannot cut off the food.
That's correct. That's correct. In two other, all the alcohol. And in two other states, they haven't said we're doing a lockdown. They've said we're banning travel, including domestic travel. In other words, other Australians can't come here either. And if they do, they've got to quarantine for 14 days. So the two states that have done the lockdown haven't done the ban other travelers. The two states that have done the ban other travelers haven't done the lockdown. How long do you think it's going to be before every state in Australia is doing both? You see, you do one and you do the next. One state says no more school, the next state does it. So that's like an Australian microcosm of what's happening in the world. One country says we're banning travelers from China. Another country says actually we're banning them from China and from Iran. Another country says, well, we're banning them from those countries and from South Korea. Another country says, you know what? We're banning everybody. Another country says, we're not going to ban you, but if you come here, you've got to quarantine for 2 weeks. And so it's just like one by one by one, they all up the ante, you see? Until you get to a stage where every country has military on the streets. But it's all incremental, slowly but surely.
Yeah, I think that's incrementalism or the Fabian approach to war, where you just slowly build up the troops and the army, and next thing you know, there's 10,000 all over the place. Where did they come from? Oh, you didn't notice. They've just been incrementally building up. Yeah, I think we've been told, I don't even know what we've been told right now. I think don't go to other provinces. Well, other provinces are 8 hours away for most people, so nobody's really going to other provinces anyway unless you live on the border. But our border is officially closed with the United States. Not that there's any motivation to go there anyway, but it's commercial and non-essential travel, and I heard there's already lineups just because those few people that are allowed to go are probably being held for at least a one-minute interview. To what are you doing, where are you going, why are you doing it, you know, all these things that are just slowing everything down. So obviously the story is there, and it's trying to keep people from even finding out for themselves if it's true, so they just avoid it altogether, you know.
Let me ask you this, in Canada, I know that you don't drink much alcohol, it's something I respect about you actually, you don't seem to drink much alcohol, I think that's smart, but let me ask you this, in Canada, if you wanted to buy yourself a bottle of soju, for instance, or a bottle of whiskey, can you buy that from your local supermarket, or do you have to go to a liquor store?
Well, I live in Ontario. I don't want to speak for Canada. Like I told you, Ontario is so different.
Different places, I understand. So in your part of Canada, can you buy it from
Ontario,
a supermarket?
We are one. Yeah, we can now. We can now. This is a very recent development. We are one of the last places in North America that had government-controlled alcohol stores. One of the very last. So they finally, in the last year or two, maybe because of the pot distribution, allowed grocery stores to sell limited quantities, which means you can't go in there and buy maybe the largest volume of whatever. So grocery stores can sell beer and wine, and that only happened within a year ago.
Interesting. Here's why I ask you, because in Australia,
go ahead.
In Australia, the main supermarkets cannot sell alcohol from the supermarket. They have to sell from separate liquor stores. So there are stores that exist solely to sell liquor and, I suppose, tobacco, but their primary purpose is liquor, right? So the supermarkets are, of course, allowed to remain open because they are a so-called essential place, an essential service. But can you make the same argument for a liquor store? So say in countries like Malaysia, the supermarkets are allowed to remain open. They sell the alcohol 24/7. In fact, if I wanted to go and buy some right now, I could. Easy. No problem. They can't shut down the alcohol without shutting down the supermarkets, unless they put in some exemption for alcohol, but the idea is that we're trying to beat a flu here, not stop alcohol. So that would be too conspicuous. In Australia, they don't have to let the liquor stores open unless you make the case that they're essential. So let me ask you, if you believe that there was a real super flu that you were trying to save people from and you were happy to leave the supermarkets open, would you leave the liquor stores open? Do you consider them to be essential?
Absolutely not. Unless alcohol kills COVID, can you drink enough vodka to purge it from your body?
Well, you know, I've heard some people suggest that alcohol, like occasional alcohol drinking, is good to kill things in the body. I'm not saying I support that theory, but I'm open-minded to it. Because if alcohol does kill things, and some people seem to believe that it does, I don't know, but if it does, then why can't it kill things in your body? Yeah. Of course, you can make the counter-argument, what if it's also killing the good things in your body? You know, why would you assume it's killing the bad things?
Right.
So I'm not trying to push any theory here.
I think alcohol is a sterilant. It sterilizes things, but if you pour it on an open wound, I think it could kill the bacteria in that open wound, which you would probably want. I think killing foreign bacteria in an open wound is a good thing. I'm pretty sure. But, yeah, it would kill the good bacteria that was whatever was on your skin. Just like this Purell revolution, which I love that Tim Osman calls it the new holy water, Purell, this alcohol-based hand cleaner. It's actually very bad for your skin. In the absence of soap and water, I think Purell or an alcoholic-based hand sanitizer is probably better than nothing. But if you use it exclusively as they are prescribing, I think it's very bad for the natural oils of your skin. And I highly do not recommend it. Just like, you know, I go swimming, or I used to go swimming before they closed the rec center. When I get out of the pool, I am covered in chlorine. Now, I know you need to put chlorine in a pool because when there's lots of people doing lots of strange things in pools, you need to kill harmful bacteria that gets in your eyes especially. But, man, the medicine that is chlorine is all over your skin. You can feel it. You can smell it. It takes a long time. You got to soap it off and get rid of it because it's not good for your skin at all. It's a chemical toxin. And I almost carry that theory over into water. And it's sort of an out there theory. I don't see any substantiation anywhere, really. But we need chlorine to kill bacteria in our water supply to make it drinkable, potable water. Or to transport it to store it, at least. But the problem is drinking chlorinated water.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
You don't have free will. You have the appearance.
Drinking chlorinated water.
I thought those things were meant to change the topic. I thought that was a change the topic reminder.
I know. Let me just finish it though. Drinking chlorinated water might be toxic to you in large amounts. And I think it might inflame the interior of your arteries, especially the arterial network to your heart, and that causes arterial sclerosis. Whatever causes inflammation. So that's like internal bleeding inside your arteries, and your body will replace that with scar tissue, and that's what builds up and ultimately blocks your artery and causes heart failure. But that might just be the stuff that we use to save us, chlorine. Okay, but when you drink it, the final product is you drinking it, it may be toxic. So nobody talks about that. They always blame, oh, it's the fluoride. Okay, yeah, it might be fluoride, but it's chemical big brother, if you count atoms, is chlorine. And chlorine, while you need it to transport and store water, once you should take it out before you drink it. Just before you drink it, you should probably take it out. And that's what I do in my water system. I take out the chlorine. But it's just a theory. But it's universal. Chlorinated water is universal around the world. Almost everyone drinks chlorinated water. And that might be one of the leading causes of death in this world, which I believe the leading cause of death in North America is heart disease. I really do think one person every 30 seconds drops dead of a heart problem. And wouldn't it be amazing if it was caused by drinking water? I mean, there's all kinds of other things it could be, but no one talks about that. So there you go. I just put the theory out there. Run with it if you want. You talk about ultrasound.
It's all yours, Ed. No, I'm not stealing that one, mate. I want you to take that one to the stars.
You can have that. if that makes any sense to anybody, feel free. Go run with it.
All right, so one more question for you there, Ab. Have you noticed a spike in traffic to the site over the last few days or weeks, potentially as a result of this coronavirus nonsense? Or Coney virus, as I'm calling it?
Maybe on 311, which I'm going to agree with, was the beginning of this. 311, I think at 33 minutes after noon, it was announced what was announced? Tom Hanks announced, was that the announcement that it was a pandemic officially by the WHO, H-W-O? Maybe it was. So on 311, I think there was a bit of a spike, but not enough. It's not. I think I had much higher numbers a long time ago, maybe when some of the other hoaxes came about. So I'm attributing that to, I'm pretty sure you can't find me in a Google search. If you type in the word fakeologist, yeah, you can find me. But if you type in COVID, corona hoax, these are the search terms I used to use back in the day, nuke hoax. Whenever I thought something could be hoaxy, I would type the word and then the word hoax. I think those search terms have been sanitized, and I'm not there, you're probably not there. And I still think Google searches are the primary way people find sites. They own 90% of the search market. Bing is not even, nobody even knows the word Bing anymore from Microsoft, so Microsoft's out of it. I think DuckDuckGo is number two, but I contended that they used, every time I use DuckDuckGo, it says powered by Google. So
I just did an anonymous search on Brave browser. So this is not influenced by my regular internet usage or searches. This is a VPN web browser that I never use except for this kind of purpose. And I typed in COVID hoax into Google. The top results are LA Times, BBC, The Guardian, ZDNet.com, which is also mainstream, Bellingcat, never heard of that one, The Star, which is Malaysian.
Well, what is the LA
maybe this isn't a VPN. How the hell come it's coming up with a Malaysian research result in the top 10? As if they'd normally be top 10. Maybe this is influenced by it. It shouldn't be influenced by my location, but it seems to be. Even though I'm in a freaking private version. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The point of my story is what you're saying is correct. It's all mainstream media coming to us from Google. And we discussed this maybe a week ago or so on a chat about Google Trends. Google is not going to help us. Although in saying that, if you Google Coney virus, guess who is the top result? That's right, me.
Do you win?
So I need to seed the Coney hoax meme, and that will be my plan going forward. I need to seed this meme, and people are like Coney virus. I wonder if anyone's taken that. Yep, I got it. Coney virus. I might even make a book about it. I might write a fictional book about a fictional virus, and this fictional virus is pretended to be real in order to implement martial law, mandatory vaccinations, and the Epsilon agenda, keeping a whole bunch of idiot people separated and doing whatever the monolith tells them to do, like good little human automatons. It'll be a fictional book, of course, when it's real.
You, John, you've been doing this kind of research for a long time. When you heard the martial law fear porn from other ACT realm people, did you not think that was ridiculous, that that's not happening?
Well, actually, no, I was a conspiratite at first. I got sucked into this through the Boston Hoaxathon and Sandy Hook back in 2013-14. And at the time, one of the big things you might remember was the footage of the militarized police searching for one of the Joker brothers, one of the Sarnaev brothers, yeah? And the story was that he was hiding in a boat. And all this footage was released of these armored personnel carrier-looking vehicles and police opening up bins and shutting people in their houses. And so my early days in this scene, I believed in all of that. I thought that martial law was coming soon. I was also like a semi-prepper. I didn't have enough room to really prep, but I had a heap of supply. I had enough supplies for weeks if anything bad happened. I had heaps of toilet paper. Basically, if what's happening now had happened, I'm serious. If this had happened 6 or 7 years ago, I would have been sweet, and I would have been telling everybody, see, I told you, I told you. But then over time, because nothing happened, because there was no martial law, blah, 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 I started to think that was all conspiratorial crap. And so I'm now starting to wonder, like, why was there so much of this Boston Hoaxathon, fake search for the Joker brothers, fake martial law stuff? Why was that pushed so heavily back in 2013, 14, 15? Like, was it almost to inoculate people like me from it or others from it? Like, we've been inoculated by it. We bought into it. It didn't happen. Now, all of a sudden, it's actually happening. It's I'm sitting here right now. The city I'm in is under, and they don't call it martial law. It is military assistance of the movement control order, right?
Yes. That's what
we call martial law, bro. It's martial law, and now on social media. Sure, you can call it double speak, or you can call it. Yeah, sure. Like they're not. Newspeak. Newspeak's probably better. It's newspeak. That's exactly what it is, Ab. It's newspeak, right? And
news. Is it news anyway, or new? New or news?
Newspeak, as in not like the old speak, the old thing.
Okay, it's
you know.
Newspeak. Yeah. It's the way we talk now. Yeah.
So anyway, I'm in a city where they're literally doing that, and on social media here, they're spreading around this footage of how the police are going to deal with people who don't go along with the programming, and basically it's like, what, you're still operating a restaurant and you've been told not to? We've got all these dudes with hazmat suits and one of them has a taser, and then they show you what happens. You get tased, you get handcuffed, they put a mask on your head, and the guys with the hazmat suit put you in the police car and off you go. Now, we don't know if they're really going to do that, but the point is the masses aren't going to challenge that. So we're now in the situation where the military is literally rolling around the streets, and if you don't comply with the order to not live your life, that's the order is, however you live your life, stop it. Go back home. That's the order, right? You don't do that? Well, the military have hazmat suits and tasers and spare face masks to put on you when you're in handcuffs. So in other words, to answer your question, yeah, I bought into all this crap 7 years ago, and then I slowly but surely grew out of it. But what did I grow out of? Because it's actually happening. It's phenomenal, everything that's taking place right now. It really is. I didn't predict this.
So this is like a soft, it's a soft martial law. It's not, there's no guns on, there's no soldiers on the street where I am. I don't even know if we have enough soldiers. Well, I don't even know if we have it. We don't have a really significant military force here. I think we bought a bunch of old submarines from Britain for our Navy, nuclear, of course.
Okay, I'm going to Google Canada total military. What's your guess? And obviously this is just a Google result. It doesn't mean it's the truth. But what's your guess? The Canadian Army.
How many total?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how many? Like, so they've got listed here the regular force, the reserve, the rangers, and the civilians. So disregard the civilians. I don't even know why they're included. They're just a general ballpark figure for regular, 50, reserve, 000? And that's an excellent guess.
At the
40,000. Is what they're saying here.
Yeah, that's
23,000 regular, 17,000 reserve, 5,000 rangers.
Yeah, that's not very many people. And what if half of them call in sick?
What if half of them get sick? What if this test for this so-called coronavirus is for something that many people carry anyway without knowing they have it?
Well, I think that's it almost just sees if you have water in your blood.
It could be that.
Yeah,
like, is it possible it's something that people just have? Yeah, like what I mean is it possible that it's just something that people will test positive for? It's not even necessarily that they have something. But it's just a test that on a certain percentage of the population will come back positive, right? And so as they test more and more people, of course you get more and more cases because that's what the test does. It just almost arbitrarily comes back as positive for some subset of the population. How do we know that's not the case? We don't. And so you might get half of your
own. I still want to know who's doing the test. What is the test? Now, I posted what I think is some fear porn on my blog, fakeologist.com/blog. And I got this research from my children fakeologist, where have you seen the nasal pharyngeal swab test that allegedly is being done at drive-thrus? Have you seen that? Have you ever
I've seen the footage
of
it.
Before?
I've seen the footage of the drive-thrus, and I've read the explanation of the swabs, but I haven't seen a video of the swab being done. Let's look it up right now.
Okay, go watch it.
Nasal
it's on fake
test.
No, go to my blog. I posted it on FakeTube. It's on FakeTube.
All right, I'll go to your blog. All right, let's have a look here. Fakeologist blog. Let's go and take a look. Fakeologist.com. See, my computer's been playing up lately. Why is my Firefox so slow? There's got to be a reason for that. Anyway, vast Canada not big enough for effective social distancing. Pardon me, more corona. Yeah. Attaching crazy to doubters. Corona fear porn.
Yeah.
Is that the one? Oh, yeah, here we go. Corona swab. Yeah. All right, let's watch this. Oh, this is from TikTok.
Yeah.
So TikTok, the listeners who are listening, it's footage of a person, of a camera underneath somebody. So imagine somebody at a camera at belly height looking up towards the nose. The, kind of like the tip that you would use
put
to
put on her lap.
Ugh.
It's a giant Q-tip.
They jam that giant Q-tip right up the nose. Ugh. That's going to make you, feel very uncomfortable.
John, even if I thought I was sick, I'm not having that done.
You're not blame you.
I can't, John, this is so ludicrous. I'm surprised they're not doing an anal probe. I mean, that's how ridiculous it is. It's bizarre.
People would do that. If you said to people that the test is an anal probe, I think people would do it. Maybe not everybody, but I think enough people would do it.
Yeah.
You're giving them ideas, Ed.
Next. I know. It's crazy. Like that, I don't even know if they, that was extreme to me. Could you not get a proper swab from just the few cells at the tip of your nose?
Can I tell you something? I hadn't seen that. I hadn't seen that till just now, but I'd read about it. And I'd also seen the footage of people doing the drive-thrus, but I hadn't seen footage of them doing the test in the drive-thrus. And I'd never actually wanted to go and look at the footage, but I'm glad I did. Yeah, that's every bit as ridiculous as I thought it was when I read about it, if not more so. They really jammed that thing up there.
Right up in the eyes. It seems like it's actually happening in that video.
It seems like they're going to try and pop your eyeball out, doesn't it? They got it right up there, like a javelin.
Well, I guess
up
if
it goes. Boing.
I guess if the Q-tip doesn't make a turn south down your throat, it's going right into your eye, right into your brain there. I don't know if I'd want an amateur administering that test.
I wouldn't want a so-called doctor administering that test. You know what I mean? The amount of people who get messed up by the so-called medical system is through the roof. That's one of the amusing things about all this. The faith that people have in the medical industry. Yeah? I know people where the medical industry has almost killed them or almost killed their loved ones. Yeah. You better believe those people still trust the medical industry on this one. Oh, yeah. Well, that was just one bad doctor who had a bad day.
It's one of the number one causes of death in North America. Medical mistakes. It's way up there.
So can I ask you something? Have you checked your listenerships? Like how much, that when you post these audio chats, do you know how many listens you're getting, roughly?
I haven't looked lately. The server I'm on changed their panel. They got rid of control panel. And they're using something else which only has one stats program. I don't really want to pay for a stats program, but I have not looked lately, no. I'm going to have to look tonight. You know, when I sit at my computer for a couple hours a day, I have so many distractions, I don't even know where to start. I got to check my audio server, I got to check the audio chat, I got to check my email. I inevitably walk away forgetting to do something. I probably have to make a checklist or something, but you know, I've got my banking and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I haven't checked lately. I'm not really too worried, but yeah, the numbers have been pretty consistent. It's not outstanding, and I think your implication is it should be way off the charts.
Well, I'm not sort of implying that. I'm just curious to know if you are getting a boost, because when I listened to that call with the recent call with Mark Marcus Allen and Chris Kendall, which you noted last time we spoke that you weren't a big fan of. That's okay, but I thought it was a good call. And I noted that they said that on TalkShoe, which is where Chris Kendall's calls are hosted, that it's listing that his episodes are getting thousands of listens now. And those are good numbers in this niche, media fakery and intellectual dissent against the orthodoxy. This is a small niche.
Was that recent numbers? Because he has 500, almost 600 calls up. If he's talking about some of the older ones that have been there a long time, he's been doing this for 8 or 9 years, more than...
Well, you know what? I can check right now because I didn't even check. I just heard him say that. Why don't I check Hoaxbusters' call and just see if I can see the numbers that have been...
And by the way, Chris, if you're listening, it's very hard to find... I never get an email from TalkShoe anymore saying he has a call, even though I'm subscribed. So there's some part of the notification system that's broken. And even his website is very unresponsive, whatever he's hosting on. So there are some issues getting through to him. But, yeah, that's great if he's getting thousands.
All right,
I'll check my stats. I'll check my stats as well. I'm going to check them tonight.
All right, so it says here on the TalkShoe website, his most recent call from March 17, 2020, down on the farm Human Ranch, has 4,000 downloads.
Wow.
And then the one before that, from March 10, coronavirus or carnivorous, 4919. So the one with Marcus is up to 4,000 and is probably, on its way to 5,000. Now, those are just the stats from TalkShoe. Same as with YouTube, same as with any of these people who host your content. How do you know, A, if the listed figure is accurate? And then, B, even if the listed figure is accurate, how much does it tell you? Because someone can press play. Is one play a play even if they listen for 1 second? Which usually is the case. So you need to look at the breakdown to get a better idea of the listens. But still, just on the surface, 4,000 to 5,000, those are good numbers. If they are in any way representative, those are good numbers, I think.
Yeah. Well, my last time I checked, my web reporting software will tell me the plays, the partial hits, which is just pressing play, and then maybe pressing stop or navigating away a minute later. And I think it'll show the complete downloads. But I've said this many times before. There is absolutely no software available that I know of, that the No Agenda Show knows of, that can determine accurately how many people have listened. Because I download automatically 100 podcasts every single day. And I probably listen to only a few of them. So just the download is not a listen at all. It's a automated service that will put it on your phone and leave it there. It will, my service will use that.
If you want to encourage more audios like these, please go to Fakeologist.com and click the Patreon button under the Donate section. For $1.19 a month, you can call yourself a verified listener, and for $9.11 a month, a benefactor who will get a shout out every time Ab does a show. Thank you for your support.
Yeah, so I should stop interrupting myself. It's amazing how that sidetracks you if you're doing something else. It's amazing. Yeah, so there's no accurate
really?
Way to
I don't even notice it.
Listening.
I don't, it's...
Yeah, like there's no accurate way to know who's listening. And I've told people the only way to tell is you have to send me an email at ima@fakeologist.com, go to the main website, send a feedback form, or join the Discord and send a message. I have no way of knowing who's listening, how long they're listening. If you're a listener that really likes this, you can send a donation. That tells me you're listening, really listening. Send me an email, do a public share so I know you're sharing it on Twitter. There's no other way to know what's happening. There's no way.
So one more question for you, Ab, before I get going. I need to go and I'm doing a live stream, actually, and I'm going to do a live stream on my current channel, and then promote the hell out of a new channel that I've just created as a backup. So the live stream will be like a coronavirus live stream, but really the purpose will be to get people to sign up to the new YouTube channel in case the old one gets deleted. You see what I'm trying to say? So that's...
Yeah,
I'm meant to be editing
a
podcast.
I like your idea about a mailing list. I like your idea about
Oh, yeah, you've
got to
get one of those going, Ab. You've got to get a mailing list going, Ab. No, it's
well, I
it's
do,
a great
I
idea.
I do have a mailing list. I do. I really... I do, because if you join fakeologist.com, and you have to send me an email, because it has to be done manually to keep the bots away, I do send out emails. I think I have about 400 people that are registered on the site, and when I do a post, I can email everyone at once. So there is a type of email list right there, and as you know, I have a separate list that WordPress keeps if you sign up to receive the post from my website. So it's all there. Does that help? I don't know for sure. And of course, there's the different group of people on Discord. Some of them are the same, but most of them are all on their own. So there's so many lists of people and groups, it's pretty hard to keep track.
But it's worth keeping track because you never know when one platform might disappear. And on that very note, my last question for you is, how would you feel? Have you thought about how would you feel if you woke up one day and your web server had been disabled and some law had been passed? No more free podcasting. No, I'm free as in free to say what you want podcasting. No, basically, guys, it's over. You had your fun, but you're not allowed to anymore.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about, like, you know, you've put many years into all of this. If this were to happen, have you ever thought about what you would do next?
No. That would be the end of free speech in the United States because my server's in Florida. That would be a very sad day. I guess I would be like every other dissenter, just dissenting to myself. And I don't really look forward to even thinking of that day, if it's going to happen. Of course, I would have never thought this simulated martial law would happen, this economic reset, so I didn't think this day would be coming. I mean, it's a day that is affecting everyone in the world at the same time. Just incredible. Climate change, hoaxers, activists, they could never have dreamed that we'd have this cessation of economic activity all at once. Although I still think China is back full time now. I don't know anyone in China, but from what I understand, they are going full blast now, stinking up, polluting the cities, burning coal, blah, 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 all the things we hate. But I don't want to think of that day, John. I hope it doesn't come. I hope Americans especially don't allow that to happen. But what could we do?
That's it. What would you do? Yeah, that's the problem.
What would you do?
Well, I've been thinking about this a fair bit lately because, you know, obviously circumstances are changing rapidly. But I would still want to, if I could, stay in contact with the people I've met, both online and in real life, over the journey. But in terms of, and then if we can travel to other countries, it'd be nice to one day, like, meet up and get a coffee or get a beer and laugh about the good old times. That'd be sweet. If we couldn't do that, then there are heaps of people in Australia who I can still stay in touch with. I think we'll be allowed to travel around Australia, although then again, even that is in question, but I would think that'd be possible. So at the very least, stay in touch with the Australians. That'd be good. But beyond that, man, I have had my fun. I have got to learn a lot of stuff and do a lot of things that I wouldn't have been able to do without the so-called internet. So, like, I wouldn't be happy about it, but I'm pretty much at peace with it, man. I'm pretty much at peace with everything. No matter what happens, I don't think I'd be too bothered, to tell you the truth. Mind you, it's easy
so
to say
okay
that now.
You're okay with your controllers having their way with you, basically.
Well, whatever happens, happens. Whatever happens, happens, Ab. Like you said, what can we do about it? So if we get to a stage where the kind of conversation that we're having now disappears and is no longer possible. And by the way, I'm not saying it will happen. I don't know if it will or won't. 3 months ago, I would have said almost impossible. Whereas now I'm saying, well, maybe still unlikely, but a lot more possible than I thought it was. But the point is, whatever happens, happens, Ab. You know, so I think whenever you see there's a situation that you can't change, the best path to happiness is to make peace with it. And the big issue that we've got right now isn't so much the internet, it's the people around us. This, what's happening right now must be the final nail in the coffin for anybody who still wants to believe that the average human is intelligent. That's clearly not the case anymore. We can't, we can pretend if we want, but if we're being honest, we can no longer honestly hold on to that ridiculous notion. There is no waking up. There's none of that. That is completely over at this point. So do we get angry about that? What do we do about that? I've just made peace with it, man. I'm surrounded by complete and utter morons. And that's just how it is. Why be mad? Why be sad? You know, I'm not a victim of it. It's just how it is. And I've made peace with it. And so too, if we do lose this avenue to talk and to connect, that'd be a shame, but life will go on, won't it? So just sort of be grateful for the good times that we had and the good people we met, and then move on to something else in life, you know? There's other ways to find enjoyment in this world, I think. So that's the
way
I see.
Well, I guess even Winston in 1984, he reached a state of stasis, equilibrium. He was not ecstatic about his situation, but he accepted it. He accepted the telescreen. He accepted his relationships or lack thereof. And he just existed, basically. We could just exist, I suppose.
Yeah, and he was at his cafe drinking his victory gin, celebrating another win for the Allies or Oceania against East Asia or Eurasia, whoever the enemy was at the time. And, you know, just being a normie. So, yeah, if that happens, that happens.
And the other thing I was saying, I don't know if you were on the call at the very beginning, but I was saying, John, the beauty of this PSYOP is they know it works. It's very effective. It's all really done by the cooperation of the normies because they don't know better. They don't even think to question it, which is amazing because they put all these little taunts and teases in, like sing happy birthday twice when you're washing your hands. And I even heard that somebody put an idea out in Toronto. I don't know if it's in your area. If you still are lazy enough to have your Christmas lights up, like my neighbor, they said turn on your Christmas lights because it'll make you feel better. And my neighbor's Christmas lights are now on at night. At least. So,
hold on a second. Let me get this straight. So your neighbor had the lights still on because they didn't take them down from Christmas. We're now in March.
Right.
And you saw a thing on TV saying, put on your Christmas lights to make you feel better.
Yeah, my child saw
it. And then you noticed your neighbor putting on their Christmas. So you've made the inference, the logical inference here, that your idiot neighbor has seen the same message. They got the message and they followed the message.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What I'm saying is that this PSYOP, this exercise, this drill is being followed quite closely by, I would say,
everybody. We're all hooked. Compliance. We're all hooked, bro. Me included.
We're fucking hooked, man. The compliance rate is fantastic. Now, will the compliance rate remain for another week, 2 weeks? How long will compliance last?
Actually, good. That's a good question. I'll give you one more question to finish. How long do you think people can do this? Because this is day five for me. Day five, I can't go to the gym. I can't go to the cafe. I can't do anything, right? Although I found a little trick. I found a playground in this condominium complex, and you can sneak out there. And obviously, no kids are out there, so I'm using the swings as my new pull-up set. So that's pretty
You're
sweet.
You're lucky because a lot of the playgrounds have been closed here.
I thought this one would be too. And then... No, I thought this one would be too, and I was doing, because now to get my exercise, now I'm running up and down the staircase here. This is a 13-story apartment complex. So I was going for my little daily run up and down the stairs, and on level four, I was like, you know what? I wonder if the gym is still closed. I got my hopes up that the gym would be open. No, it is still closed. I knew that would be the case. But then when I walked past the little door to get out to the little outside area, I was like, I wonder if my key pass will work. Because you have to use a key pass to get in and out of everything here. And I put the thing up there, and instead of going like burr, burr, it went bing, and I'm like, no way. Push the door, it opens up, I'm like, hallelujah. So I found a little solution to my gym problem, but just even not being able to go to the cafe, man, like, we've all got our routines. All of us have, well, most of us have some kind of routine, whether it's going to the bar with your friends, or going out for dinner once a week with your wife, or going on dates with people, or whatever.
Yeah.
How long do you think you can take away people's routine before they're like, hey, this is getting excessive?
Well, what's up with this? I mean, how long did it take me to look into 9/11? It took me till 2012 because I thought, okay, what's up? Is there an update? It took me 11 years. What's the update on 9/11? Are they any closer to solving it? Is there anyone going to jail? What's happening? And then that's when I looked into it, and of course, oh, I get it. Nothing's happening because it was a complete and utter hoax drill. I get it. So no one has to go to jail. Okay. And everyone's forgotten about it so they can just forget about it themselves. But again, getting back to this. So when will people start questioning this? Will they?
I'm not asking when people start questioning because people are morons. I'm talking more when will people start showing some pushback? Because right now there's almost no pushback. Yeah. Not even the people who are losing their jobs, man. I'm seeing people who work in fields related to tourism, people who work in fields related to personal training because the gyms are closed, people who have lost their jobs, hospitality is another one. Even they're not pushing back and saying this is too much. They're just saying, oh, I lost my job, I'm a victim. What I'm waiting for is when will people start pushing back and saying, hey, maybe this is too much. I'm not even holding out hope that they'll question the so-called virus or the numbers or any of this.
Our government has already promised money for all those people.
Same as our government.
Where I am. Our government.
In fact, if I went back to Australia tomorrow, I'd be a rich man. Yeah. They'd basically be giving me $2,000 a month for doing nothing. If I went back to Australia tomorrow, $2,000 a month. You got no idea how tempting that is. That's $2,000 of my money, not of your money. Our money's almost worthless. But that's, like, I'd be getting more from the government for doing nothing than I get for running this website that I've put years of my work into. You know what I mean? But my concern is if I go back there to cash in on this, when do they turn around and say, no, we changed, like, the crisis is still on, but the payments are over.
Apply
and I'm like, well,
now,
I'm stuck
John,
back in this bullshit
now.
Country.
Apply now from Malaysia to go back and get
you know
your
what?
Money.
I'm so tempted to do it, but apparently
maybe the check will just go right in your bank account anyway. You don't have to go back.
I don't know if it works that way.
Do
if it worked
online.
That way, I'd do it. If it worked that way, I would do it. It's been a long time since I've had
online.
To deal with
they
our
don't, they
welfare.
They don't want
office.
You going into any store or bank or anything. It's all online, John. I mean, don't worry about it. You don't have to go back. Just use your Australian VPN and apply and get it done. But again, let me finish what I was going to say, and that is to say that if it works so well, which it has, there's nothing stopping them to repeat this in the fall. They could do a reset in the fall, John.
They can do it forever, Ab. They can do it forever.
The virus
because
this
could always
back,
be a new
John.
Strain. But, yeah, I know. I agree with you.
Exactly.
They could
the
do it twice a year every
fall.
Year. Yeah. They can
and
do whatever they want
now.
Some
guy I was listening to said, in 100 years ago, the Spanish flu allegedly came through at the same time as now, winter, spring. But the worst part of the flu, where the most people died, they say, was in the fall of that year. So it was pretty much an all-year event. They let everyone have the summer off. I guess they wanted people to go to the beach and enjoy their summer. As soon as it's back in the fall, bang! Everyone's dying again. So you could see it. We could see COVID-20. There's COVID-19 now. Would it be COVID-20 or COVID-19A? They'll bring it back. Why not? We need another reset. Let's crash the market again so all the people with cash can buy low. Why not?
That's the thing. This
nobody
is
would even notice.
Yeah. Yep, I agree.
They
with
found
you
their perfect weapon. Wow. And it's working, John. I see evidence. There's nobody on the roads today. Well, relatively speaking, very few. And if they're on the road, they got nowhere to go. There's nowhere to go.
Bro, there's footage circulating on the social media here in Malaysia. And again, we're on day 5 of lockdown, but day 1 of the military. I saw some footage today on the social media. The police went onto a bus. Okay, these people on the bus, they might have been on the way to a supermarket. I can't understand the language that they speak. And it wasn't translated, so I just had to sort of work out what was going on from what was going on, and I had to sort of infer what's being said. Basically, they said to every person on the bus, what are you doing here? And they just started yelling at people, get off the bus. And sure enough, the people stood up, got out of the bus. Not a single person was like, no, let me go, I'm going to the supermarket, I'm sitting here. I don't think you're going to kick me off the bus if I'm going to a supermarket. No, one by one, off they went, off the bus. And the social media I saw this being shared, this was being like cheered, like, yay, this is great. I'm like, dude. So anyway, today is day 5 of our lockdown. Just wait until Australia gets to their day 5 or their day 6 or your country gets to your day 5 or day 6 or whatever. Like, We don't know how Western
people
are going to
respond. We've already been told April 5th.
You've been given 2 weeks warning of your lockdown. That seems bizarre.
Oh no, the government said we're not coming back till April 5th. The government themselves.
The government's not coming back. Yeah, but could you still go to a restaurant tonight if you wanted to? If you wanted to take the wife out for dinner?
No. They're synchronized with the government pretty much. I think they've been down for a week. Some of the
How about gyms? Can you go to the gym? I know you don't go to the gym, but if you wanted to, could you?
No, I go to the public gym. I've gone to the public gym. That's been closed since the beginning of the week as well.
You guys have been on lockdown for longer than we have here. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, I would say so.
Well,
yeah,
let's wait.
Well,
so if the young people want to go to a bar, they can't go to a bar. Like, no one can do anything.
No, they're all closed. No. Everyone's cowering in place, John. I've told you. Everyone's cowering in place. Yeah. Shelter. They call it
good.
Shelter. I call it cowering.
Okay, well, no, I mean, it's good. And I mean, it's in like, told, okay, well, you're at the same timeline as me. You're a week ahead of Australia.
Oh, yeah. Even the car factories, some of them are closing next week, but they've already said we'll probably open on April 6th. So they've already basically the car companies have to close, the manufacturing companies, because no one's buying the cars, so they'll have an inventory problem where obviously things aren't moving. So they have to really close anyway. It's just a cascading event because of what's called just-in-time inventory, where nobody has inventory. Everything is in what they call rolling warehouses, on the move all the time. So yeah, it's the cascading effect is all the few things we do make here. We do make some cars here. They're closing, but they've already said April 5th, they'll start back up. So that's a two-week holiday for them. Government, three-week holiday started this week. Schools were already out anyway, so maybe they synchronized it with that. Maybe that's more of a synchronization than 3/11. But I do agree with IPS that 3/11 is the new 9/11. It's a six-month difference. I see what he's saying, and this one is much more widespread because, as I said at the beginning, this is two psyops in one. We've got the health psyop coupled with the economic reset. They're really pretty unrelated, if you ask me, but they managed to marry them together. And we're living it, John.
What a time to be alive. Hey, Ab, well, I've got to get going. It's good to talk to you. This has been productive conversation, I think. Thank you once again for providing this facility here at fakeologist.com. I appreciate it. I'm sure many people appreciate it.
I'll update my Corona page. I'll make sure I link to you because obviously you're doing a lot of good work. I'll link to your site. I'll just link to your site because if I link to your YouTube page, it might disappear. And it's what a pain in the ass it is to...
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, this is Late Night with Kay, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
If Kay's out there, I hope that she is well. She's a school teacher, so maybe she's got some time off work to listen to fakeologist.com.
And I hope she comes back.
Don't we all? Wouldn't that be wonderful?
All fakeologists, all old fakeologists, come back for this big one, at least. Come back. Marcus is coming back, for God's sakes. Come back for the big one. You have to have an opinion because it has to be affecting you. So just come back, say hi, drop in for old time's sake, say hi to the new people. Yeah, and that goes for every old fakeologist, and there's lots of them. Come back, say hi, and John LeBron, you keep doing it.
Dusty, Banazia, Marcus Allen, Kay Ham.
Everyone.
We'd love
to
see all of them back here.
He just briefly.
Del Qua would be a good one to see. Wouldn't he be wonderful if he came back, Del Qua?
Yeah, Del Qua just started tweeting again.
Well, that could be a good sign.
His Twitter
Tom Delpra, be nice to hear from him. How about
Tom,
the dude from Manchester with the good voice? Napoleon Wilson, we'd nice to hear from him.
Danny
from Manchester, it'd be great to hear from him. There's lots of these people out there, and they know, all of these people know that this is not what they're telling us.
Bullshit.
All of them at least know that.
Yeah,
I think most of them would also know it's a hoax as well. But if as long as they know that it's not what they're telling us, that's enough. And come along and have a chat.
I would be dying to come back if I was silent for all this time. Come back and give us your 2 cents. Give us your 10 cents. Let's hear it, guys. Unless you're just shills and you only had a limited run because of an assignment. I don't want to believe that. I want to believe you're real, so come back.
I never really thought of that. But that would make sense, actually. If shills exist, which I'm very skeptical of. But if they do exist, maybe they just get a limited assignment, and that's why people come and go so much. Because people just come and go from this scene like It's quite bizarre. How can you know about this stuff and then just disappear and not want to talk about it? It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, the baby hoax, as I understand, but this is John, this has got to be close to the top of your pyramid. This has got to.
You know what? I hadn't even thought about that. If I had to put this on the hoax hierarchy, where would this one go? Yeah, this is high up on the list, I think. Well, you know, the medical hoax is on the daddy is pretty high up. The medical hoax is on the daddy level. So this would probably fit under. This would probably fit at least on that level, I would think. It's definitely related to it. That's for sure.
This one is moving up. It's moving up, John. It's moving up the charts. Come on.
This is a super hoax. This is a super hoax, I think. This is unprecedented levels of hoaxery. It's phenomenal.
Yep.
But this isn't just a hoax. This is a social phenomenon. This is a social media phenomenon. What we're seeing is not just fakery on the TV. It's what people are doing on Twitter and what people are doing on other social media and shaming each other.
Everywhere.
And demanding that they get locked down. Daddy government, lock me down. It's phenomenal.
Lock me up. Chain me. Chain me.
That's what they want. They want daddy government to tell them what they can and can't do.
Okay, so you're doing a live stream again today?
Yeah, I'll probably do a live stream at 11 p.m. local, so in about 75 minutes, and I'll be promoting my new YouTube channel. Okay. But I've got to go as well. I've got to go and get some stuff done before I start the stream. So good talking to you, Abbott, and I'm sure we'll speak again soon, yeah? All right, cheers, mate.
I think every day we have to come back and just give 20 minutes. We'll have 20 minutes of conversation tomorrow because something else is going to happen today.
Indubitably, old chap. I've got to go. So you take care. We'll speak soon. Bye-bye.
Take care. Okay, bye-bye. And what is, before I leave, somebody left me a message. Let's see. Yeah, there's something wrong with the stream. I don't know what it is, Velocet. There's something wrong with it. I got to reset the computer. I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, there's something screwed up with the stream. I don't know what it is. Well, at least the audio saves pretty well, guys. So I'll post the audio today. I'm sorry about the live stream being choppy. It keeps disconnecting. I don't know why, but I'll find out. It might even be my internet connection. Maybe they're blocking it somehow. So I'll let you know. Thanks for everyone listening, and we'll talk later.
That's all, folks.